Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. How important is prayer to our lives? One of my favorite little tracks that I love, and one of the reasons I love it is because we had to memorize it years ago to do CWT, and it's the Eternal Life track is what I refer to it. But in the track itself, not only does it give you a sinner's prayer and also birth certificate when you come to know Christ as your Savior, but it also tells you some of the things that you need to be doing in your life. Now that you're a new believer, and it talks about baptism, it talks about God's Word and how important that is, but also breathing and our praying, and it refers to it the same as breathing does for us. It says, praying is to spiritual life what breathing is to the physical life. Breathing must be regular or continuous. What happens if you stop breathing? You're not going to be able to do it later on, okay? You can't stop. You got to have oxygen. That's part of it. Guys, prayer's that important to the spiritual life. Most of the things that we're talking about on how to grow your Christian life and become more mature also has to do with getting closer to the Lord. That kind of goes hand in hand. We've talked for the last two Sundays, or last three Sundays, about the Word of God, and then we took a couple of different ways that you can study the Word of God. One that you can use every day just as you go through the Scripture. The other one is the one that you can use if you've got a special topic you want to look in the Scripture and find out what the Bible says about it. But today we want to talk about prayer. And, you know, I wanted to take, we've talked about prayer before, but I wanted to take a passage of Scripture that that is used. And this one's a little bit different in Luke chapter 11. And, you know, when you get into the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus just moves right into a sermon. And he does that whole series of different subjects on the Sermon on the Mount. When we get into Luke in chapter 11, we get a little different picture of it. And I want us to look at that. Beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, by the way, if you've got an NIV or New American Standard, you're going to notice that there was extra words there that yours don't have. It's because there's two different manuscripts this was taken from. And that's why you see a little bit different in the wording. The other one is more like what you find in Matthew, almost word for word on that one. But it has all the basics here. But it doesn't stop there. He has a couple more things he wants to say on prayer. So let's read on, beginning in verse 5. And he said to them, which of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight? You caught that part, didn't you? Goes to him at midnight and says to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Get lost. Well, now, guys, if my neighbor wakes me up at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning and asks for a couple of loaves of bread, I'm probably not going to get up with a smile. Okay? Let's go on. Let's see what happens now. Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. Now, I know that sounds kind of crazy. I know that as your kids were growing up, you probably had to make some decisions. Sometimes your kids wanted to climb in bed with you. And if you started making that concession a lot, then your kids want to stay in bed with you all the time. And they wouldn't sleep in their own room. So, you know, but you have to understand their culture was different. They didn't have multiple rooms. They had one room. So when they went to sleep, they were all laid out on the floor right there in what you'd call the multi-purpose room, if you want to put it that way. And so, you know, when you got them all to bed, you were all together right there. Now think about it. Think about a newlywed getting married and moving into his father's house. You would be in that room too. Wouldn't that be romantic? That's why when you see about the Lord going to prepare a place for you, that was part of the marriage thing. If a young man decided to marry a young lady, they would make a pact on how much it would cost to get married, and then he would go add another room on dad's house. And that wedding night might be the only intimate night they might have together where there wasn't kids and other people all around all the time. Wasn't a lot of privacy back in those days. And so waking him up, he'd have to walk across to all of them. It'd wake the kids up. Now, you know, when you're a young couple, especially, and you got young kids, the one thing you look forward to is when they go to sleep. Quiet. Sometimes that when you first get married and you have kids, you don't get to sleep for a long, long time, okay? just want to say that. So when you got them down, you really didn't want to have to get them back up. But let's go on and read what happens. Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, I want to go back. What does your translation say instead of persistence? Boldness? Shameless what? That's actually closer to the true definition of that word. People put consistent there, but this is one of the words that's only used one time in Scripture, and all the background that they did, it never was used as a word as persistence. It was used as boldness, brashness, not caring about the other person. In other words, this was a guy, and you have to understand, hospitality was an important thing in their culture. And so he has a friend that comes over, and he has nothing to serve. So he goes to the neighbor. I thought it was interesting today. I had never really thought it through, but you notice what he asked for. Lend me some bread. Have you ever asked somebody to borrow something you didn't intend to bring back? We use that term borrow. After a while, somebody will catch on and say, don't use that word borrow. You're not bringing it back. But this was, listen, give me a couple of loaves. I'll replace it tomorrow or the next day. That's it. That's what he's really saying. But he doesn't care whether this father, mother, and kids are all asleep. All he cares about is meeting his need. And so he is bold. He is brash. He goes, knocks on the door. He's not going to give up. Get up. No, no. Get up. No, no. Get up. Do you remember the blind beggar? Jesus was coming to town. He heard Jesus was coming. And he's trying to get Jesus' attention. They told him to be quiet. You know what he did when they told him to be quiet? He got louder. There's a wonderful scripture in Hebrews that says, you and I can boldly approach the throne of grace in time of need. If an earthly person will get out of bed and meet this person's need, even if he's brash and doesn't deserve it, how much more will your Heavenly Father take care of any need that you bring to him? Isn't that awesome? Oh, we don't finish yet. Let's go on. Still have another section that goes with this. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Now, by the way, that is not a good translation. It doesn't carry through what the Greek is emphasizing. It really should read, keep on asking. Some of the more modern translations put that emphasis on it. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Persistency. Now the persistency comes out. You know, sometimes people ask you to pray. You pray one time and you forget about it and you go on. But if it's something important to you, especially if it's someone that's maybe sick and somebody that's one of your family or friends, or maybe it's somebody that's lost and they need salvation, you're pretty persistent. At least I hope you are. I hope you keep going back to the Lord for them. Keep lifting that need up for them. Don't ever give up. Be persistent. If God's tired of hearing it, He'll tell you. He will let you know, by the way. I've told you, I've had that before where I was praying for somebody specifically to be healed, and God came to me and said, I'm not going to heal them. That was something He had already made that decision. It was not His will for that to be. You know what I did, don't you? I kept on praying. Even though I knew the Lord had already told me, you just have a heart for that person and you want to see them healed. God had other plans for that person and other things to bring Him glory than to heal that person at that time. But I didn't want to hear it when the Lord said, I'm not going to heal them. You remember as a kid when your parents said no? Had you ever went to the other parent? Mom, I really want to go off. No. Dad, I really want to go off. Well, what does your mom say? She said, whatever you said. I don't know. Come on, Dad. Oh, I don't know. Come on, Dad. All right, I'll let you go. Later on, they get together and find out that Mom didn't say that. That kid didn't want to give up. Why? I hate to be told no. I want something, I want yes. Don't tell me, you don't mind when somebody says no to you, right? You're spiritual, aren't you? Not me, I want my way sometimes, I'm telling you. Guys, the Bible encourages you and I to be consistent, persistent in our prayers. Like I said, God will tell you when he's not going to work in that area. But until then, remember David? You remember David got himself in a bad situation. He committed adultery and committed murder. And, of course, that woman got pregnant. And when the baby came along, and guess what? The baby was sick. What was David doing? He was in sackcloth, ashes, on his knees, praying and asking God to save that child, to heal that child. And the child died. Now, the bad thing was the servants didn't want to tell him. Would you like to take that news to the king? Your son has died? No, they didn't either. They didn't want to because they didn't know what was going to happen. He's in his grief. He could be angry. He might want to kill me back. You know what I mean? So I didn't want to tell him. All of a sudden, they realized David cleaned himself up. So they went to him and asked him, what changed? He said, as long as that child was alive, who knows what the Lord might do. But after God made his decision, it's time to get cleaned up and go back. God already answered the way he was going to answer. Guys, until that time comes, don't give up. I don't care if it takes 20 or 30 years of praying for somebody's salvation. Don't give up. Keep lifting them up. God can do miraculous things in people's lives. Do not give up. You notice what he says. Let's read that section on a little bit farther. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, and knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open to. It will be open. What does that tell you? What does those verses tell you? Huh? Well, yeah, but we need to just keep asking and don't give up. Keep on pursuing that thing is what he's saying on that thing. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking till God says no. Don't give up. How do you know God's not waiting for the perfect time? Why did the Lord wait so long for Jesus to be introduced to us? It had to be the perfect time. The scripture says that it was the perfect time. Now, most historians wouldn't realize what that is. Even though they know facts about what happened in the world at that time, they didn't have any idea what that verse meant. But if you go back and look at the history and look at the culture, there was one country that ruled the world. There was one predominant language all over the world that everybody spoke. There were Roman roads where missionaries could travel from one place to the other without any problem. It was the perfect time in history for Jesus to come into the world. And God knew that. That was His plan. Guys, we don't always know what the perfect plan is. I got to tell you, I'm like that person that pulls up to the McDonald's window. I want my Big Mac, my big fries, and that stupid shake that ain't big anymore. And I don't want to have to wait. It just kills me for them to say, pull in that line over there. Just as soon as we get it made, we'll bring it to you. That ain't fast food. I want it now. Sometimes in my spiritual life, that's what I'm asking of the Lord. I want it now. I'm asking you to save that person now, not next week, not next year, not 10 years from now. Lord, I want him saved now, or I want her saved now. God's got perfect timing in His will, guys. I want you to know that. And it doesn't always line up with us. And in fact, you know, the scriptures try to tell us that one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like one day to the Lord. He's got a lot more patience than I got. I want it now. But you see, I can't see the whole picture. All I can see is my little tunnel. And I see what I want out of life. And I want it just the way I want it. Don't forget them pickles. Don't leave off them onions. I want the whole sandwich. But you see, God has the whole picture in mind. And He's dealing with multiple lives at one time. And how this one works into this one's life, works in that one's life, works into that one's life. People I don't even know. They're not in my little tunnel. But God knows. And He's working it out. Guys, I don't think God's turning a deaf ear on me when I'm praying. I think He hears what I'm asking. I think He understands my heart. And at the perfect time. And if it's not the perfect time, and if it's not God's will to do it that way, He's going to let me know that too. But until then, don't give up. Let's go back and look and see what Jesus told them. Do you notice it's a little bit different than the Sermon on the Mount? Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is just preaching to everybody. Here, Jesus had just got through praying. You notice they waited till He got finished praying. And then one of them, or maybe many of them at the same time, ask, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Guys, one of the neatest things, we talked a little bit about this in our Sunday school lesson this morning. If you study the New Testament, especially the Gospels, look at the life of Christ as He prays. A dynamic prayer life. And they saw that. There were times that Jesus went off by Himself and prayed. There were times where He withdrew from them in secret and went to a place so He could be alone and prayed. But there were other times that Jesus took His disciples with Him when they prayed. They saw this. They understood that was part of Jesus' life. Before He made any major decisions, He prayed. All of that was a part of His life. They saw that. But also there was another influence in their life, John the Baptist. John had started his ministry first. And in fact, some of the disciples of Christ actually came from John the Baptist's disciples. John had taught his disciples how to pray. The disciples, knowing that and knowing, seeing the dynamic life of Jesus, said, Lord, teach us how to pray. By the way, this is not a prayer to be copied word for word. I know a lot of people love this prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. It's a song. You can sing the Lord's Prayer if you want to. But guys, what He was trying to tell them is this is what needs to be in your prayers. Now, by the way, this is not exhausted, okay? This is not everything you need to pray. But there's so many good things right here in this prayer that we need to look at. First of all, notice in the very first part of the prayer, he talks about our relationship, our Father. Isn't that awesome? That's why we can boldly come before the throne of grace in time of need, because we have a relationship with God now through Jesus Christ. We can go to Him. We don't have to run down here and ask a priest to intercede for us or confess those sins to Him before we can talk to Him. You know, God's given us a direct line through Jesus Christ to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Our relationship. We belong to His household. I love when David is on the 23rd Psalms and he said, you know, when he talks about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He meets all my needs. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. You know, the confidence that David had in the Lord, He meets all of my needs. Notice the second thing. Hallowed be your name. What's that talking about? Adoration, praise, and worship. Guys, how many times do you just lift your needs up and don't lift much of anything else up? I do that a lot. Oh, Lord, I need your help. I need you to do so-and-so over here, and I need you to take this one and do so-and-so over here, and I need you to save this one over there, and I need you to take care of my neighbors over here, and I need you to take care of this church thing over there, and I'll be going through a whole list. I'll be wore out when I get finished. But did I stop and appreciate who God is? Why I'm able to lift my needs up? Because of who He is. Because He can answer prayer. Because He's more powerful than any problem I'll ever have. You know, I need to acknowledge Him through that. Worship is a part of our prayer time. All right, what else? Notice verse 2. He said, your kingdom come. Well, what's that? Anticipation. The prayer is, Lord, bring in your kingdom. Now, the kingdom is in two parts. First is a spiritual kingdom. All of those who have a relationship with the Lord, He is supposed to be the ruler of our lives and our hearts. He's the King, right? The second part is where He literally sets up the kingdom of God that He promised to Israel, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. You notice in the other Lord's Prayer that's found in Matthew, they add to it, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, when you're praying about, even so, bring your kingdom on right now, I think you're praying about two things. Save the lost and come on back. I like those, don't you? I believe we need to pray for the lost. Not just lift them up. Lord, please save all that are lost. How many in your life is lost? How many neighbors in your life is lost? How many family members in your life is lost? How many people do you know that's lost? Sometimes we don't even think about that. I guarantee you that a large number of those in your life are lost. And you need to be praying specifically for them to be saved. Amen. Amen. I lift up all my neighbors, every one of them. I don't know them all by name, but I know who they are, and the Lord knows who they are. So when I lift them up, and some of them got some really serious problems. I do too. I'm not, you know, but I'm just saying they got some really serious problems. Some of them I know, and that's part of the prayer that I lift up. But the Lord also lays on my heart some folks who are not there anymore. We just had one family move out. I told you she got upset with the airboaters and the music, and she tried to get them to turn the music down, and they gave her a hard time, and her husband left. So now we got new neighbors. But I can't stop praying for them, even though they left, because as far as I know, they're lost. So I'm praying for them, and I'm praying for the new neighbors. But the Lord also laid on my heart two RVers that stayed with them before. I don't know who they are. I don't even know how many's in their family, but I know they're two RVers, and I'm praying for them. And then I've got a house next door that has three families that went in to buy a house. And they got lots of kids. I don't know who they all are, but I pray for all the household that they'll get saved. Guys, we need to be praying for folks that we know that we're in contact with. Even if you don't know them well, somebody needs to be lifting up to the Lord to be saved. And guys, I am looking for the Lord to come back, aren't you?
Amen.
Now, some of you younger folks are not saying amen yet. But the older you get, the more you say amen. Because you get tired of some of the things you see in the world, and you're ready for the Lord to come back. Can you imagine Him wiping out all problems in our lives? You know, sometimes I would never be a teenager again, okay? If the Lord gave me a chance to go back and be a teenager, I'd say no. I don't like being a teenager. But I would like to go back and be a kid again when I didn't have any problems. When I could ride my bicycle around, pick up bottles, take them down to the store and trade them in for Coca-Cola or some candy. I miss those days. I miss that not worrying about anything, not having any burdens on you. I miss that. One of these days you're going to be like that again. Isn't that going to be awesome?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. You notice he says, give us this day or day by day our daily bread. Guys, God wants us to take our needs to Him. That's not a problem. It's just a problem if that's all we do is take our needs to Him, okay? We don't appreciate Him and love Him and all those other kind of things. All of that needs to be included in there. But it is not wrong to take your needs. I don't know if it's wrong to ask for a new gun. What do you think? Everybody's going, what? Yes, sir? God, brother, I got enough guns, I never need another one, okay? So let's don't put it that way. Oh, okay, I got you. There are a difference between needs and wants, okay? Now, the Lord promised He'd meet our needs. He didn't say He'd give us all our wants. But praise the Lord, He does give us that sometimes too. So that's the great thing about our Lord. That's right. Unfortunately, that's a desire of my heart, brother, so we'll have to watch out on that one. Also, there's confession. He said that He would ask for forgiveness for our sins, but we were to forgive others as well. Guys, that's kind of part of it, is our relationship, keeping that fellowship. Guys, you'll never lose your relationship with God if you know Him. But you can have that fellowship hindered in your life. We don't ask for forgiveness for the relationship after we're saved. We ask for forgiveness for that fellowship because sin does have an effect on our lives and it hinders us from having the fellowship that God wants to have with us. And that's why we take those things to Him. All right, what else? Now, what does this mean, and lead me not into temptation? Does that mean God leads us into temptation? Well, actually, the Scripture says He doesn't lead us into temptation. So what is the writer asking for? What is Luke, through the Lord, saying in this?
Ask for salvation.
Do what?
Help me know what the right way is.
Help me to know the right way. Lord, watch it. In fact, I had somebody ask me to pray for them a while back, and they're on my list, and they asked for some specific things. And one of those is watch out for me while I'm on the road, because they drive a lot. And also help me when a temptation comes along. And guys, I think it's very much we need to pray for God to guide us, to protect us, to watch out for us. Sometimes put a hedge of protection around it. You know, when your wife and family goes off, I'm asking God to take care of them, to put a hedge of protection around them. When the kids are traveling up on our vans to camp, I'm asking God to put a hedge of protection around each one of those vans and keep it running well and protect us from accidents. There's nothing wrong with that. I think there's something good about that. You know, the devil just wants to defeat our lives. He just wants to tear us up. And God wants to protect us. Doesn't mean he'll deliver us out of all problems, but he'll be right there to help you through them. Those are some good things. Now, by the way, there's another little section that goes on to this before our time runs out that I want us to look at. He who seeks, find. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, would he give him a stone? Or if he asked for fish, would he give him a serpent instead? Or if he asked for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now he's saying, guys, you have sinful natures. The Bible's pretty honest, isn't it? You got sinful natures. And yet, when your children ask for something, you try your best to help meet that need. And that's true. My kids come and ask me for food, I wouldn't give them a hoe. Though some I would like to. As a father, I try my best to meet that need. I might complain the whole way because they're my kids, you see. But I'd meet that need even while complaining. And if I know how to do that for my kids, how much my Heavenly Father can meet our needs? So much better. You notice the Holy Spirit's mentioned there. Why is the Holy Spirit mentioned there? Well, guys, if you noticed in this prayer time, we have got the Father, Son already mentioned as part of it. The Son's telling us how to pray and how to pray to the Father. And of course, you and I know that we can only pray through Jesus Christ, so he's the one that made it possible. But there's also the energy. And I'm not talking about the Energizer Bunny. You put the right battery in him, he don't stop. I got news for you, Eveready's run out too. Okay, about the time I'm halfway to the tree stand. And I'm beating my flashlight trying to get it to come on so I can find out where I'm at in the woods. But I'm going to tell you one who don't give out, and that's the Holy Spirit. And guys, the Holy Spirit is as much part of our prayers. In fact, the Scripture says He prays for us when we don't know what to pray for. Woo! Aren't you glad?
Hallelujah.
But guys, He is also the one who empowers all of that in our lives. Without the Holy Spirit, I can lay this Bible down and not worry about it. The reason so is I can't do any of it. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I can't be obedient to God's word. I'm going to break it. I don't have the power or the strength to change my life. But with the Holy Spirit living in my life, He does. And as I surrender to Him, He works in my life to change me and give me the strength I need and give me the want to do the things that are right. The Holy Spirit is a part of our lives. You know, I know the Scripture says, be you filled with the Holy Spirit. But I got to be honest with you, I still go to the Lord and ask Him for it. Lord, please fill me. I got to preach today. I don't want it in my own power and strength. I want it in yours. And I have to ask Him to watch my thoughts. I don't know about you, but this is a terrible thing up here sometimes. It really is. I'm glad you can't read my mind. You wouldn't like me. That's okay, I wouldn't like you either, so. No, I'm just kidding. But the Holy Spirit is there. Praise the Lord. And He makes it possible for us to live this out. Aren't you glad He's there? You know, it's just like that song we sang this morning, Who Am I? Is it because of what I did? No. Is it because who I am? Mm-mm. It's all because who He is and what He did that makes it possible. Guys, how often do we pray? All the time. Always be ready when an opportunity comes to talk to the Father, because He wants to talk to you. So that's what, you know, I don't understand why God loves us. I really don't. Why does He care about us? You know, David asked that question. What is man that you're mindful of him? It's because He loves us. It's because He loves us. Well, trouble is, we were ruined by sin. And God took the opportunity through His Son to remake it. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Father, thank You for an opportunity to come together. Thank You for an opportunity to learn how we can grow, how we can grow closer to You, first of all, Lord. As we take in the Word of God, we learn more about You, we increase our faith, all those things that take place through the Word of God, but also as we spend time with You and communing with You, God, not just lifting up all of our needs, but worshiping You and confessing our sins and worshiping and praising. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to talk to You. I can't call up the president, but I can call up the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Lord, if there's someone here that has never trusted You as Lord and Savior, Lord, I'm going to be standing down front in just a moment. Miss Debbie's going to lead in a hymn of invitation. And I'm down ready to receive anybody. Lord, if they got a question, they can come down and ask me a question. If they want me to pray for them, they can come down and ask me to pray for them. If they want to know how to be saved, I'll sit down with them and show them how they can know You as Lord and Savior. Lord, the invitation's Yours. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen.